Hello, church family. Just to begin our time together here, I want us to do a little reflection together. April is just over 2 years old now, and Ezra's 5 months. And as you've seen, they're just the most beautiful children. Not that I'm biased at all. You know, these are just facts. And they have just the biggest eyes that look up at you when you come in the room, when me or Chloe are walking about. The kids just fix these big, beautiful eyes on us and just watch everything we do, hang off every word that we say. I've heard that changes, but I'm not convinced, you know. I hope not. And they just watch everything we do and everything we say. And that got me thinking, you know, I was picturing their big eyes looking up at me. What do they see when they look at me? What things am I passing on to them? What values, what lessons, what virtues, what truths are they learning from mum and dad? What things am I passing on to them? Have a think about this in your own life. You know, say April's 20 and Ezra's 18. What words are they going to use to describe mum and dad? What words do we want people to use to describe us? What do we want to pass on to them? Say our time in this life has come to an end and God's called us home. What will be said at our funeral? Say we're on our deathbed. What do we wish we had done less of? And what do we wish we had just done more of in life? Have a think about these things. I know it's a deep way for us to begin this time together. But I think it's so important to think about these things, to take stock, to look at our lives, the rhythms, habits of our life and really think critically about these things. What things lead us to God? Let's cultivate these things, grow these things, do more of these things, and teach and instill more of these things in others. What things distract us, take us away from God? Let's pluck these things out. And I think it's especially important for us now, as we're thinking about enjoying the presence of God, and we will be for the next dozen or so weeks. I think there, as I was sharing last week, hasn't been a more important time in our collective lives to be doing that, with the restrictions on social gatherings and our lives being the way they are, to be taking stock, looking at our lives, cultivating what brings us to God and removing what distracts us from Him. I spoke a little bit about Brother Lawrence and his book, Practicing the Presence of God, last week. It's a phenomenal book. You can get the audio version on YouTube, just an hour and 15, 20 minutes long. I know many of you looked that up and have listened to it and have been blessed. If you haven't done that yet, give that a listen. It is a real encouraging and also challenging, just a wonderful book. And another book that we're going to be following along with each week is Selwyn Hughes's book, 15 Keys to Enjoying the Presence of God. Last week, the first session was knowing God. In order to enjoy God's presence, we have to know God. And we looked at, who is God? Who are we? What has God done? And just quickly thought about, you know, how lovingly gracious God is, sending His one and only Son, that all who know Him, who believe in Him, who trust Him as Lord and Saviour, are saved. And shall not perish, but will have eternal life, do have eternal life in Him. And we can never hear that gospel truth of God's grace and His love for us often enough. It is the gospel. It is God's grace. And we're on session two of Enjoying the Presence of God this morning. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 139. In session two. And just as I read this psalm, maybe close your eyes, but reflect on your life. Take stock. What do we want more of in life? What do we want to be doing less of? What values, what virtues, what things do we want to instill in the lives of others? How do we want people to remember us? Have a think about these things, big questions for us. Psalm 139. O Lord, You have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place Your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from Your Spirit. I can never get away from Your presence. If I go up to the heavens, You're there. If I go down to the grave, You are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there Your hand will guide me and Your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from You. To You the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to You. You made all of the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank You for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, every moment laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me. Oh God, they cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Amen. An amazing psalm, reminding us of God's presence with us always. The heights of heavens, the depths of the grave, the farthest ocean on the wings of the morning. God's presence with us always. When I wake, you are still with me, Lord. So practicing, enjoying the presence of God, where do we begin? Well, like with a book, you start at the beginning. And with enjoying the presence of God, we start at the beginning of the day. Wake with God. When I wake, you are still with me, Lord. If I could pass on one thing to April and Ezra, it would be a hope and a prayer that they would know in the depths of their being, the depths of their soul, the deepest part of themselves, they would know God loves them. That they would know the depths of God's love for them, that his thoughts for them are innumerable, more than the grains of sand. That they would know that so deeply that as they woke up, it would be on their minds. That it'd be the first thought when they wake up, it'd be the last thought when they go to sleep, that whatever circumstances they face, that they would know God's love. That whatever comes their way, that God's love would be with them, and that they would know that so deeply. And I think that all of us want that for the people that we love, don't we? We want that. If you think about the person that you love most in life, your husband, your wife, your mum, your dad, a son, your daughter, your gran, your grandpa, your best friend. We want that for who we love most in life, don't we? I read in a book that someone wrote that we should care for ourselves like we're caring for the person that we love most if they're unwell. Something along those lines. You know, we don't care for ourselves as well as we care for those that we love most often. You know, we will neglect ourselves physically, you know, not eating as we take care of someone who's unwell, and not giving ourselves enough time and enough patience, enough grace. We are so often our harshest critics, but that isn't right. That's not honoring, and that's not true. As God loves us just as much as he loves that other person in our life, the one that we love so much. And we should take care of ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So as much as we want that for them to wake up knowing God's love in their life, that it would be the first thought on their minds as they wake up, that they would know God, they would know his presence with them. Wherever they go, whatever they face, God is with them, he loves them, and this is unchanging. We should want that for ourselves as well, that we would wake in that same way. There is no better way to start your day than that. Know God's presence and his love and enjoy that, rejoice in that amazing truth. Selwyn Hughes puts it like this: anyone who looks into the face of God during the waking moments of the day is fortified to look into the face of anything the day may bring. That's an amazing truth. We draw strength and grace, and we are fortified, having put on the armor of God in the morning, for whatever the day may bring. And a beautiful fact for us, the Hebrew word for presence translates into the face of God. Being before the presence of God is being before the face of God. And we have the joy, we have the privilege of waking to the face of God every morning. There isn't a better way to start a day than that. To remind ourselves every morning that all we have comes from Him as we breathe in and draw our first breath of the day. To know that this air, that the breath that we take in is a gift from God, that the lungs that we have to breathe is a gift from God, that our bodies, our arms, our legs, maybe they're aching, maybe it's really early in the morning, that our body is a gift from God, that the mind that we have to think thoughts is a gift from God, that the feet we use to step upon the ground first thing in the morning are given to us by God, the ground itself given to us by God, the breakfast we eat, a gift from God, the taste buds we have to enjoy breakfast are a gift from God. We have the joy, the privilege of looking into the face of God, being before His presence in the waking moments of our day. Let's want that as much as we want it for those that we love most in life. Let's want that in our own lives. Don't get me wrong, but this is by no means an easy practice. When we wake up the first thing in the morning, you know, it can be difficult. It can be very difficult. Like as I was speaking about last week, if we've not done it, it will seem unnatural. But the more and more that we do it, the more natural it will become. And it will, in fact, become unnatural not to do it, not to wake up and join God's presence, giving Him thanks for all that we have in life. You know, if you go to the gym for the first time ever or for the first time in a long time and you work out, your body will ache, it will be sore, it will be uncomfortable, it will be difficult. And spiritual training, spiritual disciplines are just like that. It can be difficult, it can be uncomfortable when we first begin to do it. But it's good for us. It's working out is good for us physically. Spiritual training is good for us. Spiritually, it builds us up. We will grow in faith and be molded into and formed into the likeness of Christ the more and more that we do it. So how do you start your day? Have a wee think about that. Reflect. What's the first thing you do in the morning? We know that how we start the day affects the rest of the day. You would have heard the phrase, you know, they got up on the wrong side of bed. When someone who is just particularly grumpy and they're just moany and just a really negative mood. And that is true, you know, the beginning of our day affects the rest of the day. We often start as we mean to go on. If we start the day not enjoying God's presence, not thinking about God, not giving Him any thought, we will often continue the rest of the day like that. But if we begin the day enjoying His presence, giving Him thanks, filling our mind with His truth, we will continue the day like that very often. So have a think, what is your routine? How do you wake up? I guarantee that on our deathbed, we're not going to be thinking, you know, I wish I spent more time on this. I wish I spent more time liking photos on Instagram and watching more videos on YouTube and messaging them on WhatsApp. We will not be thinking, you know, I just wish I spent more time on my phone. That is just not going to be the case. The exact opposite, I'm sure, will be the case for us. We really have a choice between two things as we wake in the morning and throughout the day and throughout our lives to focus on one of two things, either on self and circumstances or on God. And we have a beautiful image of this when the disciples are on the boat in Matthew 14 and they're on the water and they see Jesus in the distance walking upon the water and they're stunned. They thought it was a ghost to begin with, but Jesus calls out to them and Peter speaks to him and Jesus invites him to come and walk on the water. And Peter does that. He steps off the boat and is walking upon the water towards Jesus. He's doing it. He's walking on water until the wind starts to pick up around Peter, and he looks to the waves that surround him, and he's terrified. He's afraid, and he begins to sink, and then he cries out, "Save me, Lord." And Jesus reaches out, grabs his arm, and saves him. Peter sinks when his focus, when his attention shifts from Jesus and the firmness of his word to come and walk on water onto his circumstances, the wind and the waves, onto himself, onto the danger that he thought he was in. This is when Peter begins to sink. And I was thinking about this week, and Jesus lets Peter sink. That when his eyes fall from Jesus onto the wind and waves, Jesus let Peter sink. Why did Jesus let Peter sink? Well, Peter didn't seem to sink like quickly. He didn't seem to you know, just drop out. Like if you drop a rock in the water, it will just immediately sink to the bottom. But Peter seems to slowly sink. And as soon as Peter begins to sink, it's a wake-up call. The sinking leads to Peter refocusing on Jesus, on his source of hope, of truth, of life, of salvation, so that he cries out, "Save me, Lord," reaching out to Jesus. And Jesus grabs him and saves him. That it was in the sinking that Peter is refocused off of his circumstances, off of the wind and the waves, onto what mattered most, onto his Lord and onto his Savior. If you are in a place of struggle, in a rut, struggling with your faith, struggling with your mental health, with the circumstances, with the wind and the waves of life just taking over, look to Jesus, call out to him, cry out to him, enjoy his presence. He is with you. Cry out to him as Peter does. "Save me, Lord." You know, there is no better way to begin the day. There is no better thing than we can do today than that. Cry out to Jesus. And we have the joy and the privilege of doing that in the morning, calling out to him, thanking him. And we could do it that simply. There is nothing complicated about enjoying the presence of God and looking to him. You know, it could be something as simple as just as we wake up to speak with God, to say good morning to him. And that might be strange, that might be weird, and maybe a bit too anthropomorphized, kind of a little bit too sentimental even, and that's okay. You know, the method of how we go about speaking with God and enjoying his presence is not what is important. What is important is that we do it, that our focus moves from self, from circumstances, from the wind and waves, onto God, onto who he is, onto what he's done, onto his nature and attributes, and speaking with him. And as we do that, as we look to God, we should expect him in our day. We should expect his presence with us. As we bring our requests to God, we should expect God to answer our prayers, even if it's not what we want, whether it's yes or no. We should expect God in our lives. We should expect spiritual growth. Psalm 5, David writes this: "O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my requests to you and wait expectantly." David each morning brings his request to God and eagerly awaits upon him, waiting expectantly for God to respond. And Selwyn Hughes, in the book 15 Keys for Enjoying the Presence of God, writes about the dangers of being unexpectant in faith. And as I was reading Psalm 5, you know, there was a story of David that came to my mind that reveals so well expectancy in faith and being unexpectant in faith. From 1 Samuel 17, the Israelites facing the champion of Gath, Goliath, every day, day and night for 40 days. So about 80 times Goliath would come out and give a defiant speech against the army of Israel, that someone would come and challenge him and face him in combat. But Saul and the armies of Israel had resigned themselves to defeat. They were absolutely terrified, utterly unexpectant on God. And this unexpectancy and fear and terror had permeated through all of the ranks of the army, that no one had stepped forward to fight Goliath, not one soldier. And that's important to realize. The unexpectancy and fear spreads and demoralizes. But then someone from outside of the ranks, David, shows up with some food for his brothers. And as David shows up, Goliath steps out of the Philistine ranks, as he had done so dozens and dozens of times before, and he invites someone to come and challenge him. And in verse 24, it says, the Israelites, upon seeing Goliath step forward, they ran in terror. They were filled with fear and they ran. That is how they responded. Those who were unexpectant, those who had resigned themselves to fear and to defeat. But this is how David responded upon seeing Goliath. He speaks up and said, what happens to the man who kills this Philistine, removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is he? Who's Goliath? To defy the armies of the living God. David was expectant of victory. And immediately his mind is filled with defeating Goliath. Not being defeated by Goliath, but having the victory, killing Goliath, defeating him and removing this disgrace from Israel. Expectant faith versus resignation, you know, resigned to defeat and to fear. David was expectant because he knew that God was on his side. And just contrast that with the Israelites who, upon seeing Goliath, ran away in fear. The army, the Israelite army, Saul and all of the ranks had removed God from the equation. They were focused on Goliath, on the wind and the waves, on the circumstances, on their own weakness. David was focused on God's strength. And he had the victory, as we know. God listens to us. God loves us. His thoughts for us are innumerable. There is no better way to begin our day than knowing these amazing truths. And as we do that, we draw strength so that we could face all that the day has. The first step in experiencing joy in the presence of God is to expect exactly that, the presence of God with us, that God will be with us, that God will bless us, that God will grow us, that he is at work in all things for those who love him. Expect his presence as we wake with him and enjoy his presence through the day. Let's begin the day with God and do so simply and do so expectantly. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for your love for us, Lord. As we think about that person that we love most in life, and we want them to know your love for them, that they would wake up knowing that, that it'd be their last thought as they go to bed. I pray, Lord, that we would extend that to ourselves, that we too would know. Your thoughts for us are innumerable, as many, more than the sand, that we would know your love, your mercy, your grace for us, that that would be on our minds as we wake up, Lord, and that we would be full of thanks for you every and all day. Amen.
I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Yeah.
Thank you all so much for tuning in with us this morning. I hope you have a blessed rest of the day and week ahead, and that we would know God's love for us from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. Oh, goodness me. Just as much as we want it for those we love most, our children, our husband, our wife, our best friend. As much as we want them to know God's love in their life, that would extend to us, and that we would know and embrace and enjoy the presence of our God from the moment we wake to the moment we go to sleep and throughout our sleep as well. And we've got our Zoom prayer time tonight between 6:30 and 7:30. If you need the Zoom details for that, get in touch with staff team or Al and we'll send you those. But until then, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. God bless you.